roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it is the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. Hi, Goz.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm good, thanks.
All right. Hey, me revealing behind the curtain, folks, this is our second time doing the intro. So, we kind of had to fake that old, hey, how you been, man? It's going to be a fun show today. We're going to go over Bellator 245, Davis versus Machida 2. We also have UFC on ESPN Plus 35, Watterson versus Hill. That's on Saturday. The first one was on Friday. I'm sorry, folks. The first one was on Friday. Two on Saturday, UFC on ESPN Plus 35, Watterson versus Hill. Bellator 246, Archuleta versus Mix. And don't forget, in the Archuleta Mix fight, they will be crowning a vacant bantamweight champion there over at Bellator. One of my favorite weight classes, 135 pounds. Doesn't matter whether it's the UFC. I was always a fan of Bibiana Fernandez at one championship. And, of course, Marlon Moraes at WSOF. Maybe he's the one that really, really helped bring this thing together for me. Our good friends at LFA, they have a fight card with the Enjo Kawani brothers. I'll share a little story there throughout the episode. One Championship on the One Championship app, they also have a fight card going on. So really, really major shows happening this weekend. And we'll also talk to Phil Anides. Phil Anides is actually one of the first people I met in MMA. He used to work for Strikeforce, and now he has a podcast called Inside the Hexagon. So even though he stepped away from MMA for a while, he's back, and he's hosting that podcast, basically kind of reliving the history of Strikeforce. So it's pretty cool. We'll talk to him about that. You can pick that up at Apple Podcasts. It's like, that's where I get mine, Stitcher, all those places, Spotify. And he's had guests like Gilbert Melendez, Scott Coker, and Javier Mendez. So he's already off and running. He's probably like on his sixth or seventh episode now, if I'm not mistaken. So buckle up, folks. Lots to talk about here on an MMA Junkie Radio Thursday, September 10th edition. It's early Thursday.
Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, guys, let's get this out of the way real fast. I'm just going to give all of the pertinent information for the shows this weekend. So tomorrow morning, right around this time, the One Championship fight card, One Championship 114, should be going on at the Impact Arena in Bangkok, Thailand. You know, when I hear that, Bangkok, Thailand, I still want to get to a One Championship show, and for some reason I think Thailand would be a good spot. Obviously their home base is Singapore. That would be a good spot as well. Manila, Philippines. Wouldn't you like to take one of those in? I mean, I know Japan would be pretty epic too, but we've been to Japan. And but I don't know, what are your thoughts?
Philippines would be the one I'd go. I can instantly talk you out of Thailand. Thailand is the scene of my stun gun this past week on our Triple G show. Hmm. That is where the snake went through the toilet and bit the man in the penis. So I'm not going to Thailand. Plus, they got, have you heard Phil Baroni talk about the bugs, the mosquitoes and the spiders and shit that he squashed?
Yeah, no, I get that it wouldn't be like a picnic on that front. I know they got some of the most dangerous Bengal tigers and
I didn't even know they had Bengal tigers.
See, that's like another thing. But I've seen a lot of people vacation in Thailand, and it looks pretty beautiful. I guess you just have to put up with a few things.
Philippines is where I'd go.
It's got a history. Well, our good friend Steve Straw, who passed away, he went to the Philippines once.
Did he?
Yeah, he didn't like the air quality. He said the taxi drivers are crazy. He says they make the Brazilian taxi drivers look like, you know, they're
driving
in single file like school buses or something. I don't know. I could visit any of them, honestly.
That's part of the thing,
though, right? Singapore is obviously utopian, huh?
Yeah. Isn't that part of the charm, though, a little bit? Like, you just know that little crazy things like that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. That I can put up with. A crazy taxi driver, all right. Bengal tiger, not so much.
Well, the Bengal tiger doesn't have a seat next to you at the event.
I know, but, like, he also... Have you ever seen videos? Like, somebody just walk into a Walmart or some shit like that.
Come
like,
on.
I can't deal with that.
At a Bangkok, Thailand, you've seen that?
There was a video of a tiger. There's just these guys at a liquor store, and he's just kind of paying the clerk, and then he goes like this. He turns around, and he goes, oh, my God. You know, he hops over, and it was just a Bengal tiger walking in.
Really?
Into the liquor store.
Oh, my God, dude.
Then you don't see what else is going on because there's only a camera in the front, but you just see a couple people, like, running out, like, what the fuck?
You know what I always forget is... They say, this is what you do with a snake. This is what you do with a bear. This is what you do with a tiger or a lion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mountain lion.
There's a good Netflix series.
I always forget them. I try and remember. I think the bear, you don't look them in the eye. You walk backwards. And I think you're supposed to shake and make some sort of a noise.
You better get that right. Because if you die going out like that, people will be going, and can you believe it? Well, he was going backwards, shuffling and shit.
I clearly remember, don't make eye contact.
Ooh, Miyagi wouldn't like that.
But then I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I thought it was play dead with the bear or something.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure with bears you play dead.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest strategy for me, but I don't want to die being dead. Like, that's stupid. I want to at least try and
run.
It's like
a layup for him, right? Yeah. If you just lay down, he goes, well, this guy's not even going to put up a fight.
And he's telling all his friends, all I had to do is walk up to this fool, just gave it to me.
This guy was laying on the ground. I ran across him a couple times like The Rock, and then boom, I dropped an elbow. Then I ate him.
Can't even take him to bear court or nothing.
Exactly. The
judge is going to laugh.
All right, so that's One Championship. Goes, you've been on, you're a big fan of the One Championship app.
I like it. I think it's the best app out there. I think they have the best app. I think PFL has the best website, and I don't have any more categories, but that's that.
Who's got the hottest ring card girls? I mean, the UFC comes with numbers. Bellator's consistent. And Mercedes treats us to a booty video every day if you follow her
Mercedes
on Instagram. I mean, like,
owns
multiple, right?
Instagram.
And she's creative, too. I mean, she plays these parts, and it's not like here's just the booty.
Yeah.
She plays these different little parts. She has fun with the podcast. Loyal as fuck. I think she might be with... No, she's not. She hasn't been with Bellator longer than Ariane's been with UFC, but it's pretty damn close.
She's like top dog, but I mean, you know, because there's so many numbers, I guess you got to give it to UFC. Although, have you ever seen
what about pound for pound
PFL's though? Little group? That's not bad either, huh?
PFL. Well, yeah, we got a picture of them.
Yeah,
at the studio there. Yeah. All right. LFA is tonight, or excuse me, same night as Bellator 245. And Njokuani versus Torres, Chidi and Njokuani, not Anthony, versus Christian Torres. Kyle Stewart's on the card as well. And this is on the UFC Fight Pass at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's been their home, folks, if you didn't know, since Access TV kind of, they're still around, but they're under a different leadership. So 9 p.m. Eastern on the UFC Fight Pass. And they've been back in action. This is like their second phase of fights that they've done over there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at Sanford Pentagon. So just like Bellator's at the Uncasville, Connecticut, that's been their home. And this has been the home for LFA, and obviously the UFC Apex has been the home for the UFC. minus Yas Island and Jacksonville. They needed to get things started, but once they got situated, they're back home. The UFC is here at the Apex Center. I believe all of them conduct their shows with no fans, but they're cranking them out. So we move on. Oh, Angel Kiwani. Here's a quick story. Goes and I think either went to a Tough Enough or just tough either enough. As fans or to call the fights, right?
Yeah.
We're walking out, and so Tough Enough, man, sometimes they can go like 18 fights. Sometimes they can have 9. I don't remember. All I know is it was nighttime, and we're a little drained after the fights are over, honestly. You know, we gather our stuff. We're walking out, and so you're not on high alert, per se. And I just remember we were walking towards the car, probably like on the 3rd or 4th floor of a parking garage. So let's put it around midnight, guys.
Probably,
yeah. I mean, kind of like, you know, crusty eyes. You just want to go to bed, man, or something. Or maybe stop at Del Taco before going to bed. But whatever. We're walking, and all of a sudden, this car just comes and parks right in front of us. So, in other words, they didn't park into a parking stall. They just come to a complete stop right in front of us. And it kind of looked like, these guys know I'm not being mean by saying this, but it kind of looked like Harold's car in Menace to Society. Remember, he kind of had a slick little... The cousin of Kane. Mm-hmm. I think it was like blue. It had some nice wheels. And they pulled up. And I think Anthony was driving and Chidi was in the passenger. And I think Chidi even goes, "What up?" or something like that.
Well, he started making fun of us.
And Chidi's got like the Dikembe Mutombo voice. It's really raspy and low. So whatever it is, even if you were to say like, "Hi, sunshine." In that voice, you still kind of go, "What?" You know? And then, of course, the Angel Kiwani brothers are really dark-complected. And like I say, they just pulled up so quick that it was just startling.
Well, they were like 30 yards out. I think what they had done was pull out of their stall and then saw us and said, "Let's just hit the gas." And then come to a complete stop. So they just came super fast. We had already seen him. It was like Menace to Society. And then Boys in the Hood. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of froze. And then he stopped and rolled down the window. And was like,
"Yo, some bitches, dog."
Like, yeah, with his voice.
You know, if they were to... If it was literally Timberlake... If it was the guys from NSYNC, I still would have been scared. Just because of the startling way they pulled up. All right? But it wasn't them. It was two athletic-looking fellas, and one of them having a deep, dark, raspy voice saying that. I just remember thinking, man, if I had an enemy, I probably would have pissed my pants because I would have thought that was it. Like,
sure.
This was the drive-by that takes me out. If I was one of those that had those types of enemies, because they would have executed it perfectly. You know,
he had
what I mean?
A black Charger.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. If it were like a Honda Accord, maybe it'd be less scary, but it was a tinted up... Black Charger.
I'll tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't that scene in Karate Kid. Remember when they're leaving golf and stuff and they pull up in a convertible?
Oh, yeah.
With that little horn. Hey, Ali, want to jump in? You can bring your friend. It wasn't nothing like that, man. But it was funny. And like I say, you tell these stories and I know that there's a young little twat out there going, "Hey, with all the racial injustice, you're describing it like that. Yeah, that's the way it happened." And those guys are good friends of the show.
Well, they're the ones that brought it up.
They're good friends of the show. And I'm telling you, if they heard this, they would be laughing their asses off and they'd probably say that's exactly how it went down. So everybody calm down. But that's the way it was. We'd like to share these stories with y'all from time to time. But that must have been about 10 years ago and it was funny as hell, man.
They're the ones that brought it up, remember?
Yeah.
Y'all scared because we black. That's why you tripping.
That's how his voice sounds like. It was scary as shit, man.
It was. All right, so you got the info for ONE Championship. You got the info for LFA. And so ONE Championship is Friday morning. LFA's at night on UFC Fight Pass. And then you got Bellator 245 with Davis versus Machida. This is a replay, or a rematch, excuse me. So that's why it's called Davis versus Machida 2. And that's your main event. They're on Paramount and DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern. Prelims on MMA Junkie at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, 5:15 p.m. Pacific. Rafael Carvalho, Tyrell Fortune, Keith Lee, Leslie Smith, all on the undercard. Those are some those are the types of names where you would get me to for sure invest in the prelims. So good job on Bellator to do that. And then the main card is really fun. Raymond Daniels versus Peter Stananek, Taylor Johnson versus Ed Ruth, Gabrielle Holloway versus Kat Zingano, and then you get to Machida versus Davis. Names. It is, yeah. Good article there on the front page of MMA Junkie regarding Kat Zingano and why she chose to go to Bellator. Check it out. Any thoughts on that card, Goes, before I move on?
I think it's fun. I think it's definitely worth a watch. I think each fight brings something unique to the table.
Yeah,
so I'm down with it.
Yeah, and Keith Lee's a good kid, man. We've seen this guy since, I think we also called his fights at Tough Enough. So we've seen him as an amateur, and now he's a professional doing his thing. I think he's hitting his stride. I think early on they matched him up in some tough fights, and so he had like a 3-3 record. Didn't look as shiny. Now he's 6-3, but man, I'm telling you, at the gym, at Extreme Couture, this guy, at the end of the pro practice can go anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on what kind of a mood Eric Nixick's in, if he's running it. Obviously, people are breathing hard, you know, and they're exhausted. I mean, they're drenched in sweat and can't wait for the practice. This guy, Keith Lee, if you look over at him, he's not even breathing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. I breathe hard. You just told me that the washer's making noise, and I'll go up the stairs, and I'm breathing hard. You know what I mean?
He'll even stick around and work on technique and stuff afterwards.
Yeah, that guy just, it's fun to him, and his body responds, and now if he can just get his techniques down, he could be a killer, man. He's fighting at 140 pounds, by the way. This is a catchweight bout. I don't know why, but that's, just wanted to make that note. All right, so now we get to Saturday. If you haven't had enough, Saturday, that's three events. Saturday, you got UFC Plus on ESPN Plus 35, Watterson versus Hill. It's all on ESPN Plus. Our run on ESPN's over, folks. NBA's back. Go Lakers. You got NHL. You got some college football. You got baseball. And I'm not saying it's all on ESPN. I'm just saying, you know, all the different channels are starting to get all of their programming back. So I believe ESPN's got the NBA contract. But Brian Barberina's on this card. Frank Camacho and Brock Weaver. Let's see here. Bobby Green. He's staying busy, man. Good for him. Roosevelt Roberts and Steam Rolla goes. Sajara Eubanks versus Julia Avila. Tyson Nam versus Matt Schnell. That's not bad, right?
That's a good one.
You know, I'm 2-0 on a 4-fight parlay. I need Schnell as one of them. I got to check and see what the other one is. But I know I need Schnell on one of them. The other one might be Sarge. If you see me saluting,
yeah,
that's because I won and Sarge had something to do with it.
You're looking like Terrell Davis on that couch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was cool when those guys did it, right? Like they did something that was cool. Yeah, that was the 1997-98 Broncos. Shannon Sharp was on that team. If you see him in the morning with Skip Bayless, he was the tight end. He was one of their leaders.
Shout out to the 1997 fantasy football team. The Denver Broncos. Remember that team?
Goes had so many Broncos. Yeah, he had Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharp. He had Ed McCaffrey, too,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we just called them the Broncos. That's ESPN Plus, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. So that's an early start, folks. Pay attention, all right? 2 p.m. Eastern. Or Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. All on ESPN Plus. Then we get to the main card. Kyle Nelson versus Billy Quarantillo. Ed Herman versus Mike Rodriguez. Andrea Lee versus Roxanne Modafferi. Otman Azitar versus Kama Worthy. Michelle Watterson versus Angela Hill. If anybody's going, hey, man, what happened to Teixeira versus Santos? Teixeira contracted COVID. So that fight has been, I guess, postponed. I can't say rescheduled because I don't know if they already have a new date. John Morgan made a good point. When the UFC does do this, sometimes they've said, oh, they're off, but they're fighting on October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, how do you know? How do you know how that guy's body's going to respond? I mean, you don't really. Right?
Yeah, there's no need to do it.
Right. It's not like we're going, well, when the fuck is it? I mean, I guess for if you told me, is he in Acosta, where I might want to know. But once I know it's off, I'm pretty sure it's not happening the following Saturday. So, when you get it right and everyone's healthy, just tell me. That was a good point. It was on the Spinning Backlick. Check out our Spinning Backlick franchise on Wednesdays. And speaking of Mike Rodriguez, he'll be cornered by Joe Lauzon. He was on our Wednesday show on Sportscaster, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. If you want to check out our show in the video form live, check it out on Wednesdays on Sportscaster. Joe Lozano is our guest. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie, the same place we do our watch-alongs. The main card, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, if I didn't say that. Any thoughts on that card goes? Any of these fights? Any of these names I threw out?
I mean, the main event is just an interesting matchup. But not a lot of the fights mean a whole lot. That's the problem that I've been having with the UFC lately. Is there's just nothing really comes out of much of these fights.
Well, here's a reach. But I think it's a reach that makes sense. Michelle Waterson, Angela Hill, Andrea Lee, Roxanne Modafferi. The winner kind of gets a little bit of breathing room. Whoever loses these two fights, they just are going to matter less in their division. Yeah, and then you start to become somebody who just kind of gets the paycheck as you introduce the younger crowd and see if they have it. You're not looked at as a contender at that point. You know, you're just basically, hey, you're top 15, you're top 10 maybe. And let's see if they can get by you. But if you win this fight, either one of the in that foursome, anybody who wins just puts himself in a nice position to maybe start a run. So that even though they're not top of the bill, it's not for a title, number one contender, they have some sort of a value. And I don't want to say it would be loser leave town for any of them, but it's big. It's big for all of them. I would imagine Ed Herman, he can't have too many fights left. He's still doing it, though, man. Props to him. Schnell versus Nam. I think Schnell needs to win this if he wants to be talked about with Marino, Perez, and the other guys. Eubanks, hey, what are you going to do? You know, first it was the weight problem, then he took a couple losses. I thought Eubanks was phenomenal in her, on the reality show, but I don't know. Bobby Green, he's been doing this for a long time too. So good luck to all them. You got all the starting times. You know it's on UFC on ESPN Plus. And let's finish up here with Bellator. Bellator, 246, Archuleta versus Mix. Paramount and DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for the main card. The prelims are on MMA Junkie. The prelims, I don't recognize too many of these names, so I'm just going to skip them. We get to the main card. And the main card consists of Derek Campos versus Keone Diggs. Deanna Bennett versus Liz Carmouche, John Fitch versus Neiman Gracie, Juan Archuleta versus Patchy Mix.
Bellator card is better?
The other one's deeper, but this one's got the title fight. So for me, it would be like you telling me Saturday night with the title fight, I'm serving a big steak. But I only have a little bit of mashed potatoes to go with it. The other one is like you're telling me, hey man, check out this hero sandwich. And we got some green beans and we got some macaroni and cheese and some coleslaw. So I have a lot of sides. It's just that it's a hero sandwich against the steak. Because, you know, Phil Davis and Machida, they're not like number one contenders in their divisions. I guess they're close because the divisions aren't that deep at Bellator, but they're not really, you know, like the winner doesn't get a title shot. I don't think. Well, maybe if Davis wins, he gets Nemkov. I mean, the rematch, who knows? But Machida, well, there is no middleweight champion. So who knows? I don't know. But just to answer your question, I guess it's Saturday. You?
It's so tough, man. I mean, overall, the first card I think is better, but the main event on the second one's better. Give me the second card, because I can't miss that main event.
Yeah, I would agree. And on the front page of MMA Junkie, we have Katsin Ganu. Like I said, good story there. Mike Bond, once again, giving you the fun facts of the card that's taking place this weekend. He focuses on Angela Hill. And I can only imagine, man, how many records she might either be near or has broken. Although that Hannah Siffers goes, has already fought 4 times in 8 months. In different divisions, too. Mm-hmm. Archuleta explains this bout with COVID. It's crazy, man. it's crazy, yeah, that what some people go through, and others just like, it was no big deal. The new rankings report came out. If you want to check it out, just scrolling through the front page. We covered a lot on yesterday's show as well. But like I say, the editorial just hustles and hustles and hustles, and there's good stories there. Burt Watson did a Legend to Legend debut on his series. So it's called Legend to Legend. It's a series that we debuted on MMA Junkie, and his first guest was Chael Sonnen. So if you've seen a few recaps regarding Chael Sonnen in the last week or so, they stem from his interview with Burt Watson.
Go ahead. Great interview. I mean, you're going to be able to see pieces of it here and there, but definitely take the time to go and watch the entire thing, because the entire thing is
entertaining.
Almost about an hour long, I think, maybe 45 minutes. But it's got so many cool stories, and their chemistry is really, really good. So I would say go and watch as much of it as you can.
Yep. All right. So there you go. That's all the info for the shows coming up. There's some news there for you guys to preview on your own over at MMA Junkie. Right now, we're going to talk to Phil Lanides, the host of Inside the Hexagon.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, Junkie Nation, we're spreading our wings here. I'm going to talk to an OG from back in the day. His name is Phil Lanides. I met him through John Morgan. He goes, hey, you need to become friends with Phil Lanides. He's going to hook you up with a lot of Strike Force fighters. And so this is great, Phil. It's been a while since we've caught up. Good to see you. You're now hosting Inside the Hexagon. You just dropped that on July 27th, where you're going to go back and take us through the old Strike Force days. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thank you both, or thanks for having me on. It's been a long time. I actually did a little bit of research to see how long it's been. 2011 was the last time I was on Junkie with you guys. I was on four times between 2009 and 2011, and one of them, I want to go back and listen to it, but it was me and DC, Daniel Cormier, came on to preview a Strikeforce event, so I want to go back and listen to that. But yeah, it's been a long time, and man, talk about OG. How about you? How about you, bro? Guys, been around for a long time, but yeah, it's great to be back. I've been out of MMA for a long time. Just to give a quick little, you know, this is why I'm here, but I was thinking about, I did a history podcast for about a year and a half, and I enjoyed it. I did a tiny bit of MMA on it, but it was really just broad history, and ended that, couple years ago, and I've just been kind of itching to get back into podcasting. And I was thinking about, what do I have experience on that's, you know, a little bit different. And I was in MMA for 5 years as a publicist and a writer, and I worked for Strikeforce for a while, and I started thinking about it. And I even found my old media passes. I even covered a Strikeforce event for MMA Junkie at one point, 'cause y'all didn't have anybody you could send to an event in San Jose. So I actually covered for you guys at one point. So I was just thinking about, man, what can I do? And, you know, I almost got beat up backstage in an event. I was at an event that
stop right there. Really? What happened? Tell me that one.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember Shine Fights. Do you remember the Shine Fights debacle?
I do. Down in Florida. Was that the one that had?
Well, we were actually in North Carolina. We were in North Carolina, but everything happened in Florida. So. Yeah. The promoter, Devin Price, who I never actually met in person, was in Florida. He actually never made it up for the event. He was fighting an injunction because the main event was supposed to be Dean Thomas versus Ricardo Mayorga. Right. And Mayorga was still under contract with Don King. And this is all secondhand. I don't want to get in legal trouble or anything. But as far as I remember, what I was told was that Mayorga's contract covered boxing, but not combat sports as a whole. And so from, you know, the Shine Fight side, the thought was, oh, he can do MMA. So as long as it's not, you know, straight up boxing. And Don King disagreed and got an injunction. I think we shut down 20 minutes before the event started. We were going to go with Ninja Hua, and I can't remember who his opponent was. We were going to elevate them to the main event. And then the decision was made to cancel. And at the time, I was managing Lyle Fancy Pants Beerbaum, a Strikeforce fighter. And there was a Strikeforce. It was Strikeforce Heavy Artillery was taking place in St. Louis that night. I think Alistair was in the main event of that card. And I had to make a decision between which event I was going to go to. And I was going to get paid to go to North Carolina for Shine Fight. So I went there. And, but Lyle was fighting that night, on the Heavy Artillery card, and word got around backstage that I was managing a Strikeforce fighter. And, the brother of Devin Price, I think his name was Dorian, he was a kickboxer. And I want to say he was on the Ultimate Fighter at one point, like season five. Yeah. Season five. Yeah. Well, I'd been working with him that week, and all of a sudden I hear someone yell my name out, and it's Dorian. And he got in my face and said, you know, I heard you work for Strikeforce, and basically accused me of sabotaging the event, which didn't make any sense. But this dude was 6'5" and a kickboxer, and I'm, you know, 5'10" with shoes on and not a fighter. But I was mad, cause I'd been working my tail off all week and have this guy, you know, accuse me of that. So I kind of stepped up to him, and I'm very grateful that I had made friends with some of the Brazilian fighters that week, because they jumped in and pulled him away from me. Or else it would have ended badly for me. I'm not going to pretend to be a tough guy or anything, but yeah, he was ready to beat me up. And I was told later he actually tried to get back at me again, and they kept him away. He called me the next week and left me a voicemail, apologized, and, you know, so water under the bridge. But yeah, kind of an interesting experience, of course. And I actually plan to cover that on the show at some point, with one of my fellow Shine Fight survivors. At one point when we get to the Heavy Artillery card, I'm planning on covering that story in a little bit more detail. But yeah, I had some very interesting experiences. I got booed out of a cage in Hawaii for mispronouncing a couple names. I got to go to Vegas and speak at an event as an expert in PR, and just, you know, I helped get Rashad Evans and on the late show with Jimmy Fallon ahead of his fight with Tito Ortiz in the UFC. And he put Jimmy in a rear naked choke. And, you know, I got to work with some really cool people and meet some cool people. And so I just thought, you know, hey, part of it was I worked for Strikeforce for a while, and I used to meet with Scott Coker. In fact, Scott Coker, I used to meet him in a bagel shop in the Willow Glen neighborhood of San Jose. And he showed me the heavyweight Grand Prix, his idea and the, like, kind of who he was thinking of. He showed me that before it was ever announced, which was, you know, pretty cool. And so I thought, man, take my Strikeforce experiences, the context, you know, that I have, the relationships I made, and let's do a deep dive into what I think is a promotion that does not get the respect that it should. You know, I mean, we just saw Daniel Cormier's, you know, ostensibly his retirement fight. There's a lot of people that think that may not be true, but we just saw his retirement fight. Daniel Cormier fought his first fight in Strikeforce and won the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix that I just mentioned. I mean, that's a guy that made his name there. There's so many guys that came out of that promotion that, you know, made their name there. And I think it's something that is worth delving back into. And I just talked for a long time, but, but yeah.
Now you're excited, man. It's a great project that you're taking on. And like I was telling you, I'm not up to the latest episode, Gilbert Melendez, by the way, Inside the Hexagon, dropping on Mondays. I see it there, available on Apple Podcasts. I'm sure it's available on all your different favorite podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Or you can go to InsideTheHexagon.com and just get it straight from there. Right. So first of all, yeah, Shine Fights, just to put a little cherry on the sundae and be done with that. Yeah, that was a debacle. And I just happened about a month ago. I don't know why. Maybe a little bit more. When the pandemic first started, I think it was about 3 months ago, we had Dean Thomas on the show. We were interviewing him, and so when you hit Dean Thomas into Google, you scroll a couple pages, that comes up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I went back and I sat there and I saw the press conference, and then he just kind of gives him this little rap on the beezer. But Dean, actually, you could tell it did something, because he kind of fell back and then he composed himself. And Mayorga, you know, he's blowing smoking. It was a circus, man. But I remember that guy Price. Yeah, a lot of people were looking for him. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were pissed at his brother. Kind of like McDessie, too. McDessie, I think, was part of Fear of the Fighter. His brother was, ran it. And people were pissed at John when they didn't get paid, you know. And, yeah. I mean, the last people you want to piss off are fighters. Yep. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Thicket, Barbosa, there was some names on that card, man.
Yeah, they ran a few events. Thicket actually won. I wasn't with the promotion where Thicket actually won a one-night tournament. It was like an eight-man tournament in Oklahoma, which is a whole other crazy story that I read an article on not long ago from somebody else. I want to say Santino DeFranco. I may be wrong on that, but he'd been involved in that. And that was a whole – they had to move the event on like one night's notice because they didn't get the commission approval. And so they had to go to Oklahoma to an Indian reservation. And just – I mean, that was – so it was, you know, it was a bad deal. I remember you might be able to remember his name. He was an Olympian in judo. And he finished like ninth one year, and he fought for Bellator for Rick Hahn.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he was back. I remember him because he actually was in tears backstage because it was going to be, he had invested a lot financially into that event. There were guys from Shootbox there that it was a good thing that Price wasn't there that night. Cause there would have been some arrests because there were some really, really pissed off guys. Backstage.
Crazy Horse also fought for Shine Fight.
Yep. And I did work with him a little bit. They had some really, you know, Ninja Hua. I mean, that's Shogun was actually there for promotion for that week. And I mean, it was, you know, and then obviously Dean, one of the pioneers of the lightweight division. I mean, you know, I of course I'm an MMA guy. Dean would have destroyed him. He came in. I mean, Mayorga was not in great shape. We did the weigh-ins at a local, the chicken place with girls.
Hooters.
Yeah. At a local Hooters. And, Mayorga had to strip down to completely nude to get anywhere close in weight, which he was still over, you know, the whole cigarette on the scale thing and all that. He did the whole thing. I got to, you know, was privileged to see him naked when I just wasn't, you know, interested in that. So it was not a good thing, but you know, it was an experience for sure. I didn't even have a flight home, by the way. When I got there, I didn't even have a flight home yet. So I had to beg and plead to get a flight home from North Carolina to California at the time. So that was, yeah, it was an experience.
We all got them, man. We all got those stories that we'll never forget. Yeah. All right. So what made you want to go forward with Inside the Hexagon? I mean, you were just telling me a little bit about this, but I want you to share it here with our audience. You know, basically the story of Strikeforce unfolding March of 2006. Of course, Strikeforce was a kickboxing organization way back in the 80s. I heard all this in the Scott Coker interview, but tell me just what made you want to retrace it and now share the experiences and have, you know, all your guests and do everything that's involved with this new podcast.
Yeah. You know, it was a very personal thing to me. I grew up in the Bay Area. I live north of Nashville now, but I grew up born and bred in the Bay Area, and I was working at NBC Bay Area. I worked for them for 5 years as a production assistant. And I interned in the sports department for a while. And one day I saw a press pass for a kickboxing event. And I was an MMA fan, but I wasn't really into kickboxing. Didn't know much about it, but you know, I saw Kung Lee on there and I'd heard his name before. And I think Ernie Reyes Jr. was mentioned, I think on the poster, if I remember correctly. And I definitely knew who Ernie Reyes was. He was a karate taekwondo legend, in the Bay Area, martial arts legend in the Bay Area. And so I thought, you know, hey, are you guys cool with me going? And they were like, well, we're not going to cover it, but you're welcome to take the pass and go. So I was like, sure. So I went, and it was, I want to say it was at the San Jose Arena, but it may have been at the Civic Center. I'm not totally certain on that, but I was the only journalist, quote unquote, that showed up. I remember being on press row on the very far end, on the left end, and Jerry Rice was there. They, you know, recognized him. They recognized Ernie Reyes, and you know, Kung Lee was in the main event and he won. And it was just, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Josh Thompson fought on that. So, you know, there were some, I want to say Brian Ebersole was on it. So I think there were definitely some familiar MMA names on that card. But I thought, man, this is great. And then on the program, it said Shamrock versus Gracie coming this fall, like MMA coming this fall. And I'm like, oh my God, they're bringing in Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie. They're going to do the rematch. Yeah, I'm there. I'm totally there. And it took until the following year for MMA to become legalized in California. But as Scott Coker mentions in my first interview with him, the California State Athletic Commission had come to him and said, you know, hey, we're going to get this legalized. We want you to have first dibs. And he wanted to do it in a ring. They said no. So he had to do it in a cage. And there's a whole story that I won't get into where Cowboy Cerrone saved Strikeforce by driving. I said, am I going to get into it? But basically, he picked up the cage and brought from Tennessee and brought it to California. Great story that Coker mentions during the interview. I went to that. I was there with my brother-in-law that night, 18,000 plus fans for our first event, which is amazing. I mean, the atmosphere there, it was incredible. It was awesome. And to see a hometown talent like Frank Shamrock come back after being away for 3 years. I mean, it was incredible. And I was hooked. I absolutely loved it. And I ended up working for them for a while. And I went to a bunch of events as either a fan or as a member of the team over the years. And it was awesome. And it's something that I think does not get the respect. Obviously UFC owns, Strikeforce owns all the IP and all that stuff. And it's available, you know, their events that were filmed are available on UFC Fight Pass and, and all that stuff. And I'm thankful for that because I wouldn't be able to watch all the events otherwise to cover them. But I just feel like again, Daniel Cormier just retired this last week and had his last fight. And he fought for the first time in Strikeforce. He won the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix. I mean, so many names, Gilbert Melendez, Josh Thompson, Jake Shields, Tim Kennedy, King Mo, Nick Diaz, he obviously was a name before that, but really, I think really established himself as a bona fide MMA superstar in Strikeforce. There are so many guys, even guys, Cain Velasquez fought in Strikeforce. Nate Diaz fought on the very first Strikeforce event. I mean, there's guy names that are associated with the promotion that people don't remember. And so I think it's important to delve into the history of our great sport. And it's, MMA did not compare to baseball or basketball or football when it comes to longevity of the history going back. But we're starting to get, now, hey, things happened 20 years ago. You're able to say that now, and 25 years ago and all that stuff. So Strikeforce, I think, is a big part of MMA history that I does not get the attention that I think it deserves. And so this podcast is designed to bring it back to the forefront of people's minds and let people understand that, hey, you're watching these guys today, but, this is where a lot of them made their bones or got their start or, whatever. And so, I think it's a great story to tell. I'm enjoying going through it. We're just a few episodes in at this point, but, we've got some great fighters lined up. I've already interviewed Bobby Southworth, and that's going to run pretty soon. And then not just fighters, guys. We're talking to. I've already interviewed Javier Mendez. That's going to run pretty soon. We've got guys. This week's episode is with Gilbert Melendez. Josh Thompson's agreed to be on. Kung Lee, Jake Shields. We've King Mo, Tim Kennedy. We have a bunch of guys, and then some guys that maybe are not as big names now, but were a big deal back then. Scott Smith, Hands of Steel. Scott Smith's going to be on. Joe Riggs is supposed to be on. Trevor Prangley's agreed to be on. So there's going to be a lot of recognizable names, and then a lot of names that were a big deal at one time, and they deserve respect too, and they deserve to get their point of view out there too. So each week, 1 week we're going to cover a major event, and then the next week we're going to do an interview associated with it. We're going to talk with journalists such as Gorgeous George Garcia is going to be on at one point as well. So I'm really excited, and I think it's great. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
All right, I got to ask you this. We've had this conversation on our show quite a few times. You talk about respect, and I agree. I think on one show we had to argue. We all took sides. Pride Fighting Championship, WEC, Strikeforce, they've all had huge impacts on the UFC. And I believe I was the one that fought for Strikeforce. And now if I ask you this question, I'm pretty sure I know where we're going to end up. But if you had to rank the three and the effects that their fighters brought into the UFC, which one do you think is coming in first, second, last? How would you rate those? WEC, Strikeforce, and Pride.
So I would That's a great question. I would go Strikeforce, Pride, WEC, but the reason why I would do that is actually more tied to timing. I think, because I think Pride, I mean, look at the crowds that Pride drew. I mean, you know, tens and tens of thousands, you know, Shogun and Minotauro and, you know, Fedor and Krokop and all these guys. So I think I would put them first, but they went out of business in 2007, and Strikeforce, you know, wasn't purchased until 2011 and was stuck around for a couple more years. So I think they've had more of an impact in recent years because more guys from Strikeforce made it into the UFC and had longer careers versus Pride. I have a lot of respect for the WEC. I mean, that is in no way a disrespect to them, but they're, you know, more relegated obviously to the lighter weight classes. But I will say that the WEC, and I tweeted about this recently, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Inside the Hexagon. I tweeted about WEC because Gilbert Melendez was the very first WEC lightweight champion, which a lot of people don't realize that, but he was the very first title holder. That promotion, you know, obviously, you know, Jamie Varner and Uriah Faber and Showtime Pettis and Ben Henderson, huge impact as well. But again, exclusively to the lighter weight classes, while Strikeforce and Pride went up and down the spectrum. But I'd put Strikeforce first, more because, you know, it's more recent, but Pride, you know, hard to beat Pride though.
All right. Well, listen, man, I hope a lot of people check out Inside the Hexagon. I think you're onto something that's going to be a lot of fun because you're right. Ronda Rousey, Tyron Woodley, Luke Rockhold, Daniel Cormier. I mean, there are a lot of fighters that not only went on to become UFC champions, they're just great contributors in the sport, whether they became contenders or went somewhere else. But I'm going to leave you with this. Goes, come back in for a second. This is a pop quiz for both of you. You mentioned Cain Velasquez, and yes, that is kind of like a trick question. Cain Velasquez actually had a fight in Strikeforce. I think it was under the Tank Abbott, Paul Buentello card or something like that. Cain was on the undercard. He wound up coming over to the UFC, you know, so Strikeforce, I guess, just didn't lock him up. But can you two name another champion of a big league who also fought quietly under Strikeforce? You'd never think about it. And there's no cheating. No, I don't want to see you guys go on your computer. but you know, that he's going to go under the radar. I think if you don't know the answer, you'll go, no way, really?
All right. So this is an MMA champion who fought in Strikeforce before becoming a champion in the UFC?
Before becoming a champion. I'm
sorry. All right. Before becoming a champion.
Yes. Yeah. Well, did Chandler have a fight there?
Yes. Yeah. Michael Chandler. That's right.
Okay. Damn.
Okay. Yeah. He was Strikeforce challengers. He fought two fights at Strikeforce, and then he became part of Bellator, became part of the tournaments that they had. And mm-hmm. It goes to show you, sometimes you start off in a league, and if they're paying attention to a few other things, it's not because they haven't caught on to your talent. It's just sometimes they just haven't gotten to you, you know. And look at Michael Chandler went on to be a great fighter over at Bellator, you know. But if he had stayed with Strikeforce and competed well there, maybe he would have already been in the UFC. He might be in the UFC after these next round of negotiations. Who knows? But good job, Goose.
That was nice. All right. I got a response to that. I got a quick pop quiz question for you.
Sure.
Who was the first Strikeforce lightweight champion?
Nate Diaz. No. Gabe Rudiger?
No, this, and I'll give you a hint. He's still fighting in the UFC today.
Nate Diaz? No.
Clay Guida.
Oh, wow. Clay Guida. Okay. And Gilbert beat him, right?
Yes. So the first at Strikeforce, Shamrock versus Gracie, the co-main event was for the vacant lightweight title. They brought Scott Coker, brought in Clay Guida to fight Josh Thompson with the, you know, the expectation that Josh would win and, you know, it'd be a local guy, would be the champion and all that stuff. And Guida, it was kind of a bit of a controversial fight because he kind of raked the eyes, or Josh at least complained about that, but he beat Josh. And then the very next event, he defended his title and Gilbert beat him for the belt. But yeah, Clay Guida, and wow, his only major MMA title was won with Strikeforce, not with the UFC.
Nice. All right. Well, we look forward to more of these anecdotes. Thanks a lot, Phil Lanides, for hanging out. Folks, on Twitter and Instagram, it's just like the podcast, Inside the Hexagon. Give them a follow there. Again, on Twitter and on Instagram. Phil Lanides, thanks so much for hanging out with us. congrats on the launch of your podcast, and hopefully it won't be another 9 years before we talk again.
Great reconnecting with you guys. Appreciate your time.
Take care. We'll see you.
Well, it was nice to catch up with an old friend, huh?
That was fun.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Looks like he's doing some good stuff there with Inside the Hexagon. You know, you can pick that up basically anywhere you can pick up the MMA Junkie Show. Inside the Hexagon, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. That's a great place to start. And you can follow Phil Anides on Instagram at Inside the Hexagon Pod. And that way you can see some of the thumbnails and some of the pics that he's collected from over the years, working close with Scott Coker and the Strike Force organization. I think you'll enjoy that follow on the gram. Anyway, all right, folks, we're going to get on out of here. And
I just want to remind people.
Sure.
A couple things. We were talking about Burt Watson and his interview. Another interview that we did that I consider at least one of my top five interviews, Dan Hardy. Mm. Was so much fun.
A lot of recaps there too, huh?
Yeah, a lot of recaps have come out of it. But again, go back and watch the entire interview, which you can find on YouTube.
YouTube.com/ MMA Junkie Video.
It was just an awesome, awesome interview. The guy was so open to everything he was, everything going on in his life and just his takes on mixed martial arts. So definitely go back and watch that.
Yep. I concur. All right, folks, we're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you as always for your support. Enjoy the weekend, the fights, and we'll see you all on Monday. Go out there and be a champion.